Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we meet an artist that's one of the foremost artists using the medium of colored pencil. Cecile Baird is this year's Artworks Artist in Residence at Holland Hall School, and an exhibition of her work is on display at the Holland Hall Walter Art Center. Baird specializes in photorealistic still lives using the colored pencil technique, which allows her to create photorealistic work. Her use of light helps viewers see the age-old still life genre, a subject of food, and flowers, in a brand new way. Baird was a graphic designer for many years before turning to fine arts, and she's the author of the popular art instruction book, Painting Light with Colored Pencil. And her work has been featured in American Art, International Artists, and Southwest Art magazines. Her work has won several awards in recent years, including a Best of Show and People's Choice Award at the Gilcrease Museum's Collector's Reserve Invitational Exhibition. The Ohio-based artist will be a guest of Holland Hall as an artist in residence this week, and the exhibition of her work will be on display weekdays through November 26th at the Holloman Gallery of the Walter Art Center on the Holland Hall campus. Cecile Baird joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Cecile Baird, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Your work is on display at Holland Hall through most of this next month, and it is really amazing work. When you look at it, it looks like realism from the 1960s. Almost, it's not hyper-realism, but it's just straight realism. When most of the time when you think of that, you think of people using oil, but you're using colored pencils.
Right.
Explain how you got interested in this medium.
Well, I did start out in oils, and I can't remember exactly how I discovered colored pencil, although my background is as a graphic designer, and we certainly used colored pencils then. But, you know, I thought of it just like everybody else does, as a sketching tool. And I think I picked up a small book, art instruction book, that's actually, it's still on the market. And I looked at that and saw what this artist was doing and tried some of the things that he was teaching in that with a pencil, and I was amazed at what could be done.
Well, I mean, I've seen magnification of some of the work. I don't see the pencil quality of
no,
it.
No.
I mean, it looks like a photograph in many senses from a distance.
Right. Well, the comment that I hear the most is, I can't believe that's colored pencil. People really can't believe it. But it's just that it's the technique that I use. It's a technique called burnishing. And what you do is, well, first of all, we're using, you know, these aren't your kids' colored pencils, first of all. You know, they're artist grade. And I use a brand called Prismacolor.
Now, what's the difference between the you know?
Okay, the difference is that the children's pencils are going to be very hard.
Right.
And they're not going to have a whole lot of pigment in them. That's how they keep the cost down, is very little pigment. So with the artist grade pencils that I use, first of all, they're very soft. And they have a lot of pigment.
So you can smear it a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are actually two different kinds of pencils. They're either wax-based or oil-based. The ones that I use are wax-based. And so you want them to go down very smoothly and softly. So with my method, with this burnish method, that means that you have to put an awful lot of pencil down. And then burnishing really means blending all of that pencil that you've layered onto that paper, you're blending it together with pressure. So you're applying heavy pressure, and basically you're kind of melting that wax all together. And that's what gives you that total smooth oil look.
And I would assume, like oil painting, you're mixing colors?
You're actually mixing colors. And with colored pencil, you're mixing them right on that paper. You know, with some oils, you know, some people actually mix on the canvas, but a lot of oils are mixed on
the
palette.
Yeah.
But what you do with colored pencils is you do that mixing, you know, right on your surface. I use paper. There are a lot of different surfaces being used now. It's becoming a very popular medium. But I love my paper. But my goal is to cover all that paper up so that you don't see any of it.
And the level of detail in
these
still lives.
That's what I love about it.
Yes, I mean,
I'm a very detailed person. I love realism. I love all that minor detail. You know, I love to get into all of that. And when I discovered the pencil, being a graphic designer, you know, I love to draw. It just suited me. And, you know, it was just the perfect match. I was able to get, I mean, you can get the richness, the density of color, the luminance of color that you get from oils, you can get it with that pencil. And they're so convenient. That's another thing I love about them. When I go to my studio, I don't have to put paints out. I don't have to clean my brushes, you know, before I quit for the day. You know, you just pick up your pencil and you go.
I would think the process is pretty tedious.
It's very tedious.
So, I mean,
It's a very time-consuming medium. It really is.
These are about 15 by 20, 12 by 19,
right.
Something like
I don't,
that.
You're not going to see really huge work from me because of that. Some right. colored pencil artists are doing really big work, but it's really labor at that point, you know, yeah. when you just have to.
Well, how long is a 12 by 19 or, you know,
well,
a 15 by 20?
Well, everybody always asks me how long it takes. Probably my latest piece that I have in the show at Holland Hall is believe it or not, some backlit onions.
Yes, I saw those.
And they
complete with the little
all the roots.
The roots.
Oh,
yes.
I love the
yeah.
roots. Yeah. Uh-huh. But that took me about 2.5 weeks of some pretty serious work, and that's pretty fast for colored pencil. Really.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, that's being pretty quick with it. But it's not. I have lots of artist friends, and some are watercolorists, and they think I'm absolutely insane. They're saying I could paint that pear in 5 minutes, and you've been working on it all week. You know, but
I think there's something.
But I
to
love
the
result.
The craft, yeah,
I love the result of it.
And you know? What is amazing is in this age of digital photography, when you photograph these pieces, they look like photographs.
They really do,
because you know you don't see any impasto, you don't see
no.
anything on them except
no.
just image.
Right.
I should mention that you specialize in still lifes.
Right.
Now, you know, everybody has a say in still lifes. One of the things I found interesting about your work is I see something that you're wanting to say with these still lifes.
Right.
What is the attraction to you?
Well,
of still lifes?
My real attraction is light. I've
yes.
always been
the
fascinated
light is,
with
is
light.
Fascination.
And that is what people comment most about in my work is the lighting in my work. And it really is central. I love the idea of taking just, you know, an ordinary piece of fruit that you might eat every day and using light to show it to you, have you look at it in a different light, you know, to see something in it that you haven't seen before, see the beauty that I see.
Now, one of your most popular images, I don't think this is in the show, it's the bananas piece.
Right, it is in the show.
Oh, is it? Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Well, excellent.
It is.
It is a beautiful work. It's a peel and a cut-up banana.
Right.
And you've backlit it.
Exactly.
From, it's got to be a pretty low angle.
Well, yeah. It's actually, I use both artificial and natural light. That particular piece, in fact, I did a whole series, two of which are in the show, the bananas and some red grapes. Those were done with natural sunlight. So the way I do my work is I do take photos of them and then work from the photos. So I have my home in Ohio is facing east. So I take these fruits out onto my front porch between maybe 9 and 10 in the morning when the sun is really pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
The lower the sun, the longer the shadows are going to
so
be.
So really winter is the time when you want to work when the sun is low on the horizon.
Yeah. So So I take it out there, and the thing that I get is I get the backlighting, which, of course, you know, makes these objects transparent or brings out transparency in objects that you didn't even know had transparency. For instance, the peel of that banana, you would think that's opaque. There's no way light is going to do anything to that, but it did. You know, it made those banana peels really glow.
Yeah.
And but the other thing that I do is you will also see in these pieces a lot of reflections. So the sun is creating the shadows, but then inside those shadows, you're going to see reflections. And the way I get those is I use a shiny surface. I will lay that banana out on a shiny white surface. And so I'm not only getting shadows, I'm getting reflections, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the sun, it's interesting to see in the show, there's some really good examples of the difference between natural light using the sun and using artificial light.
Now, another one that caught my eye that had especially wonderful lighting effects was the honeydew rainbows.
Oh, I love that.
And this is actually getting off a prismatic image on
and
the shadow.
That was there. And that was shot in exactly the same way as the bananas. It was shot with the sun on that shiny surface, And the reflections in those shadows were really rainbows.
And they were getting prisms.
Of course, I intensify the color. I kind of, but it's really there. You know, it's just amazing what the light does. And I love backlighting. You'll see most of my work is backlit. Not all, but most of it is.
Well, it does give this particular otherworldly hue to
these
pieces of fruit,
right?
Onions and all the various type of
well,
materials.
Well, it all started really when I a few years ago when I did a piece that just had some citrus slices in it, and I kind of discovered it by just eating an orange for breakfast, and you have some I held it up to the light, and it looked like little pieces of stained glass. And so I did a piece with just, I think I had lemon, limes, and orange slices in it. And it was just beautiful. So that got me on the whole track of, investigating backlighting.
Now,
and I'm still on it.
Now, how did you come to still life? Now, you come from graphic design. Mm-hmm. I suppose if you're a pencil artist, that whole computer conversion turned a lot of graphic designers into artists. I don't know if that's the case in your case.
I'm not sure. I've just
was
always...
Was still life a starting point when you said,
really,
I'm going to go into fine
it
art?
It really was. It was when I actually became a graphic designer, studied at Ohio State University, and got my bachelor and master's, and then worked in St. Louis and L.A. as a designer, and then eventually moved back to Ohio. And I really, in all of that time in my schooling and in my professional life, didn't do any fine art at all. Didn't really do any until I moved back to Ohio. And so I just studied with a local teacher just to try it, and started doing oils. And I guess, she was doing still life, so that's kind of where I started, and I fell in love with it. But it suits my graphic background. I think I like the control of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a landscape artist, I love landscapes.
But you got to see the right light. You got to move trees around,
exactly.
All that sort of stuff.
You have to be outside, for heaven's sake. But I do think I like the control of, setting the whole thing up myself and doing all that. And it's amazing what you can say with still life, too,
Well, and I think that is the amazing thing about this genre is you go back to 14th, 15th century, people were doing still lives. Go back to antiquity, they were doing still lives.
Exactly.
It's gone through every phase of modernism,
right.
Every different way you can do
Absolutely.
A still life, and it is an amazing genre, I guess.
It is, yeah. And I venture into other things a little bit, but not too much. I pretty much stick to my still life, and I'm still in my what I call my fruit period. I'm expanding to produce now.
Yes, you have some eggs.
Right, so it's my produce period.
My guest today is artist Cecile Baird. Her main medium these days is colored pencil. And these colored pencils, they're just amazing. You have to see them. She's a guest of Hall & Hall's Artworks. She's their artist in residence this week. And an exhibition of her work will be on display through November 24th, Monday through Friday, at the Holloman Gallery at the Walter Art Center out at Hall & Hall. Now, I was saying, you're branching into eggs set out on a ledge with one
right.
broken. I would
right.
think getting that yolk.
You have to be pretty quick with
and the album.
Right. It can move pretty quickly on you. But I have one there. I have two different egg pictures there, one of which was shot early in the morning in front of some mini blinds. So you have the stripes created by those mini blinds going over those egg shapes and creating, shadows on those egg shapes is just fun, a lot of fun.
Yeah. So. And there is one piece in the show which is very different than everything else. And this is it was interesting because I'm not sure if you're making a social statement or not. You could be. It is a close-up of an old discarded doll's face.
Right.
And, of course, it's
almost
beaten
a
up.
Little spooky.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Forgotten. Was this sort of something outside of the normal realm, or
it
did you find the doll?
Bit.
Or
it,
what?
It was. A friend of mine had an aunt. Well, I love old toys anyway. And I do have another piece of old toys, which is some jacks. Like I used when I was a child. And so I'm interested in doing, I, in fact, will be doing more toys. But she had an old doll, and I uh, I was just fascinated by it. And I tried doing a still life with it with some other toys, and I never really got a nice composition or anything that it was really working. So one day I just kind of cropped in on that face, and it was fascinating. I just loved it. And I loved the textures in it and the message behind it too, you know. But it is a little bit of a departure for me.
Now, is the message a serious message or more of discarded toys?
It's just more of, you know, that discarded part of our lives.
Yeah, know? There was something that was so important at one point in our lives becomes trash at some point.
At some point, we discard it.
Yeah, well, it is a very striking image. And one of the things I like to ask artists who are working, especially in one particular style, when do you know it's time to move on as an artist? I assume that you're still getting enjoyment out of still life, but you're moving, you know, you're moving into new areas.
Right.
I assume just
well,
keep your interest.
Your work does have to evolve over the years. You don't want to become stagnant. I think, you know, I really think it, as long as you are still finding something interesting and exciting in it, so will your viewers. So I keep thinking maybe someday I won't be excited about fruit, but so far it hasn't happened. I still love it, and there are still things to explore with it, you know. But my exploration really is more about the lighting than it is the subject as much. You know, I'm constantly searching for subject matter that I can enhance in some way with lighting, that mm-hmm. I can make you look at it in a different way. By lighting it. Well, I know the onions are related to fruit, but the onions, for instance, they look like flowers the way they're backlit. You know, it's an object you see every day.
And basically it's the peeling outer layers.
I peeled those really paper-thin layers and, you know, just peeled those and let them set up and let the light come through them. And it transforms that onion.
You mentioned that it's mainly on the lighting, but when I look at some of the flower pictures, there's a strong compositional element
to
this.
Well, that's true. Composition is very important to me.
So it's not a matter of just painting eggs. You got to put the eggs in the right spots.
Right. You got to put those eggs in the right spot. And believe me, with these, I like to really work my composition out in my setups. You know, I use photography, so I'll do mm-hmm. my setups. I take digital photos of them, and then I'll work from those. And I will spend hours and hours and hours rearranging, for instance, the banana. I will arrange those little slices just perfectly. And or I will arrange the layers of that onion. And I will use any kind of props I need to help do that. For instance, on the onions, those little layers wouldn't stay where I wanted them. So, you know, I will get needles or whatever and stick in that onion and prop those little layers up, you know, until I can get them just exactly.
So it's very much an artificially natural creation.
It is, yes. And sometimes you can get yourself into trouble and be a little too artificial. So you're trying, there's kind of a thin line between, you know, really great composition and artificially. You know, it'll look too artificial. So you want it to have that look that it just happened, but you also want it to be a successful composition.
Now, when you're taking pictures, I know you say you work from pictures, but are you also observing the image for what the camera is not going to necessarily catch?
Absolutely. And that's...
Have you found that to be the case?
Absolutely, that's the case. Because I know I tell my students all the time that... you know, it's fine to use photographs, but you got to realize that photographs have limits. They don't see everything. They can lie. They can distort things. So if you better know how to draw and understand, you know, what a photo can and cannot do when you're working with them. So very definitely.
Gives a sense from your own artistic viewpoint what you're looking at when you're looking at a still life. I mean, I know it's the light,
right.
It's the composition, it's the object itself, but from the artistic standpoint, what are you looking at?
I'm looking for it to excite me, to say, oh my gosh, look at how that color changes. Look at the color in those reflections. Who would have thought it would be a rainbow, you know? That's what I'm looking for, something unexpected mm-hmm. From that lighting and that whole composition. But, I'm also looking at the technical end of it, obviously, the composition and you know, that it's a pleasing and good composition. I'm also looking for value is very important in any piece of art. I think if you hear anybody critique a piece of art, they're going to mention value. And that meaning that you need a wide range of values. You need to have the darkest darks and the lightest lights and everything in between. You won't have a successful picture if you don't have that good range of values. So I'm always looking for that in my pictures.
You know, it's interesting with computers now, when you actually download an image and you try to manipulate it a little bit, you know, you have this whole color scale that shows you all the colors that are part of the actual image, which that seems like cheating in a way.
Well, I do have a photo manipulation program on my computer, and I do download my pictures. The main thing that I do with that is I do intensify that the contrast.
Yes.
I will see that contrast happening, but I'll make it even more intense. And that's what I do with all my, I will intensify the color. I will intensify the values and the contrast so that it's even more striking.
And perhaps the sharpness as well.
Absolutely the sharpness.
Because the sharpness comes through all the work.
But you will notice I also, not everything is sharp in my pictures.
It's much like an eye. Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of lost edges in there, which is very important. That makes a painting more interesting. If you can, have a variety of edges, some that are very crisp. But then what I love is back in some of those dark shadows that are created, you know, you have some lost edges back there. You can't tell where the edge of a piece of fruit ends and the shadow begins. Those kind of things add a lot of interest to a painting, I think.
My guest today is Cecile Baird. She is the artist in residence for Hall & Hall's Artworks, which goes on this week, and she'll have an exhibition of her work on display through November 26th at the Holloman Gallery at the Walter Art Center, specializing in colored pencil. Now, I know since you've done this, you've written books about this.
Right.
You're one of the leading proponents of this. Can you talk about artists discovering this? I mean, have you?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Oh, there! Believe it or not, there is a Colored Pencil Society
of
America.
You actually sign it.
Yes.
CPSA.
Right. If you see the CPSA after my name, like other organizations, you gain signature status in this organization by being in their shows. But a lot of people think it means certified public accountant. But anyway, there's certainly it. Colored pencil has become a very popular medium, and I am very proud to be, I think, in the forefront of that. I certainly was not the beginning of it, but this organization really began out in the state of Washington. A few artists who worked in colored pencil got together, and they've done a tremendous job in promoting this medium.
Now, are you teaching,
promoting the popularity of
it. Are you teaching the technique this week for the kids?
I am. I just had my first class this morning with the upper school students. I had a class, what we called a master class of 20 students, and they were great. It was a lot of fun. So very talented kids. But I was hoping to show them, you know, I love to promote colored pencil and get, you know, artists excited about trying it because it is such, it's a great multimedia tool too, or mixed media.
Mm-hmm.
It pairs well with watercolor, all kinds of other mediums. So I'm very happy to go out there and promote colored pencil, a medium that I love.
Well, we wish you great success with your work. People can see it on display at the Holloman Gallery Monday through Fridays during daytime hours at the Walter Art Center. Cecile Baird, thanks very much for joining
us. Thank
you
for having me.
Artist Cecile Baird speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. She's the artist in residence for Artworks at Hall & Hall this week. An exhibition of her still lifes are on display weekdays through November 26th at the Holloman Gallery of the Walter Art Center on the Hall & Hall campus. If you'd like to see some more of her work, you can see it online at cecilebairdart.com. Here's the comments of Barry Friedman.
Here in Delray Beach, Florida, Aunt Marilyn, 89, is yelling at the television, yelling at Mitt Romney, who's talking about investment income. "We don't have any," she says. Uncle Leo, 91, is eating fruit slices and pretzel M&Ms and says after the debate, "I think Obama got them." Now, Leo is liberal, Jewish, a Democrat, and a member of the NRA, and he's for stricter gun control laws. You heard right. My father, who just turned 86, stayed awake through the debate, unlike the previous two. As we leave, Marilyn gives me a bag of fruit slices, unopened, and three cans of Coke. Driving back to the Best Western Plus in Boca Raton, even though there are no Obama-Biden yard signs, nothing on Military Trail to let you think there were even two candidates running this election, and even though we pass by one billboard, which shows Obama bowing to a sheik, and another which says, I kid you not, Obama, I vey, I think it's been a good night for the Obama people, Obama supporters, of which I'm one. I break into the fruit slices. My father and I come down to South Florida once a year to see relatives, his old friends from Brooklyn, Ida, Selma, the two Pitsies, yes, there are two of them, and Marvin Karelchik, who lives north of here in Royal Palm Beach County. Marvin is proud to say he's the only Marvin Karelchik in the country. He's checked. Marvin, in fact, worked in a polling booth in 2000 after the Gore-Bush election. He saw the chaos. He doesn't vote anymore. My father keeps repeating the joke about how Romney looks constipated. I don't like Romney, but I wish my father would stop with the joke. This is Palm Beach County. This is Broward County. These are the people who voted for Buchanan when they thought they were voting for Gore. These are my relatives who did this. Now, who knows? They like Romney on Israel. They like Obama on everything else. Mostly, though, they snack and talk about death and pain. In Las Vegas, at Jeanette's complex, a trailer park near the Strip, they're going to a costume party. Jeanette is my dad's girlfriend. Like Marilyn, she hands me two cans of soda. I feel like a kid, all these old women handing me soft drinks. Here, nobody wants to talk about politics. In the clubhouse, there's a potluck supper and an Elvis impersonator. I watch Fidel Castro dance with Pocahontas to Sunny Side of the Street. It's strangely beautiful, strangely sad. All these faces, all these memories. And I think, how did they all get to a trailer park in Las Vegas? Gail, who is sitting next to me in a wheelchair, has plastic beads around her neck. I'm a princess, she says. She tells me she has a rich son in Tulsa. The Elvis impersonator is wearing white pants, fake sideburns, and can actually sing. He's doing this for free. He's also a resident. He plays Staying Alive from Saturday Night Fever. There's more dancing. Our table is called to go through the line. Gail gives me the secret to Kina, which may in fact be the secret to life. Don't change, she tells me, insisting she played 2, 3, 11, 12, 13, 22, 32, 34, those numbers for the past 35 years. She never changed. She misses her husband. He was lucky, she said. She lets me have her numbers. The contest finalists are announced. Baskets of fruit, a bottle of wine, a gift certificate. Kitchen items are given away. I'm telling you, Castro was robbed. The last stop on the train, my grandmother used to say about this age. Those in Delray, those here. For many, it's their last presidential election. The country did right by them, and I got five cans of soda. Later that night at the Orleans Hotel and Casino, I played the numbers, Gail's numbers, just those numbers. For 2 hours, I played those numbers. And you know what? I lost $80.
Barry Friedman is a writer, essayist, and comedian, and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.